Welcome to The Relaunch with Hillary DeCesar. Get ready to be inspired. In the next hour, Hillary and her guests will share their stories and reveal tools to help you achieve your own relaunch and success. Now, here is your host, Hillary DeCesar.
Welcome, everybody, and happy day. We are going to be talking today about those relaunches that are unexpected, those relaunches that come at us in the most inopportune time that literally bring us to our knees. And then we're also going to be talking, have you guys ever wondered how do people be in a certain business and be able to start another one, corporate, whether you're in regular business, you want to start something else, how do you do it all? Well, today I've got Alicia Wilford, and she is a skilled gathering people. She puts them all together, meaningful connection. She deep dives, and this is the best part, into spirituality and creativity. She is the founder of Yoke and Abundance, a platform committed to amplifying the emerging voices of women through her Wise Woman podcast, press publishing arm. You heard that right. She publishes books. She's got one book out already. She's got another one coming. We're going to deep dive into that. And early in her career, Alicia spent 11 years as an award-winning life insurance industry wholesaler. And while juggling a successful full-time job, she founded and ran Greensboro Downtown Yoga for 5 years. And then guess what? Sold that business. And so we're going to be talking to her today because she was awarded 40 under 40 in the journal, in Triad Business Journal in 2020. And her book, how about this one, everyone? Little Failures, Learning to Build Resilience Through Everyday Setbacks. You know I love this. Challenges and Obstacles. And it was published in May of 2022. So we're going to do a deep dive into all of this. So this is going to be the episode for you if you've got a lot of stuff coming at you and don't know where to begin. Hey, Alicia, it's so great to have you here.
Hillary, thank you so much for having me. I've been looking forward to talking to you all week.
Oh my gosh, this is so great. And you know, I always like to read somebody's, you know, entire bio as, you know, I go through it because it's just like, there's so much. And mm-hmm. I know yours has tons more that, you know, was cut out, not in. But I got to tell you, what you're doing now is so relevant, to use one of your words, so relevant in women's lives today, especially that are trying to figure out, you know, whether it's the great resignation, whether they're, you know, quietly quitting at the office, whether they are in an entrepreneurial position anywhere. It's like, what if you want to do a couple things at the same time? What if that's just, you know, who you are? Maybe you want to do even more than that. So let's take a step back, because I know there's a lot more to this relaunch story than what I've even shared. And let's have you discuss really how this first, most impactful relaunch of your life leads to one that you and I hold near and dear to our hearts. We'll talk about that second.
Well, I know that you spent a really long time in Silicon Valley, and I know that you probably know what it feels like. And I'm sure the listeners have felt this at some point in their life, that feeling of you're in a position and on paper, it's like the American dream. You know, you've got a steady paying job and you've got pretty amazing colleagues that you work with. And yet it feels like jail. Like you go every day. That's what it felt like for me anyway. And I was going every day. I had just kind of happened into it. I left my liberal arts college way back in what feels like forever ago, but 2004. And I thought that I was going to change the world. That was before I realized that the only thing you can change is yourself. And I just ended up in this, you know, in the financial industry of all places. You know, I thought I was a hippie. And then I ended up wearing a suit and heels every day to work.
I love that you said I happened into it, because okay, everyone out there that's listening, have you had a position where you're like, I have no idea how I got here, but I'm here now? It's like, why, how? And I have to say the same thing happened to me with all of a sudden ending up at Xerox first and then Oracle. I'm just kind of like, how did I end up here? I love that. So yeah, so you're in the financial business and you're like, how did that happen?
Well, I was working at the grocery store across the street from my college, ended up kind of working the ladder, going up the ladder there in management, and was like, I can't believe I just got a psychology degree to do this. No shade if that's what your passion is, but it was not my passion. And retail is brutal. So I just wanted a 9-to-5 job where I could go do the work, get a good paycheck, pay back those student loans. And I went to a career fair that they had. It was like a last resort, you know, and happened to share my resume with someone who happened to be a graduate of Guilford College. And he was like, oh, you went to Guilford too? I'm definitely going to put this on somebody's desk. And about a month later, somebody called me and said, can you come in for an interview?
And that is so good. Yeah. Because how many people end up, you know, doing something that they're like, I have no idea. And by the way, let's do a shout out to those psychology degrees, because same with me, it has come in handy. I have loved it. I fall back on it all the time. When I first graduated, I'm like, am I ever going to use this? Oh, every day.
I know, me too. I love if I could be a perpetual student, I would just keep going in psychology. I didn't think that at the time, but now I'm like, oh, give me all the psychology and all the research-based psychology. But
Alicia, again, you and I are on the same wave. When I talk about my 3HQ and I talk about higher self, one of the components of higher self is the G zone, is that growth, greatness, gratitude zone. And that growth, I could literally learn, be in courses and classes and get certified and all these. I mean, I love it.
Love me it. Too.
So we're both the same there.
I know. And I've got like goosebumps on my arms because growth is like my number one core value.
It's one of my three. That's awesome. Yeah. I still think freedom might be up at the top.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. We're so similar. Sovereignty is what I call it.
Ooh, I like that. Okay. So now you're going into this profession that you're just like, no idea why I'm here, but I'm here. And then what happens?
Well, it turns out I'm good at it because it's relationship building. And, you know, we're doing sales, you're dialing for dollars, but really what I was paid to do was get on the phone and build relationships with financial advisors. And I did really well at that. And I had towards the end, I had a really amazing partner who was out in the field and I was in his internal counterpart. And I learned so much from him about sales, and it just kept like the learning process kept getting better and better, but it was still soul sucking. It was like totally soul sucking. So
is so familiar, because I felt the same at Oracle for almost 10 years. Yeah. Kicking ass, bringing in tons of money, seven figures, you know, year. I mean, this was big time and it was soul sucking.
Yeah. Like, how am I going to keep doing this? And I would think that every year, like I would get my work done as quickly as I possibly could so that I could search LinkedIn for jobs, like one of those situations. So you'd be at work searching for another job. Sorry, Matt, if you're listening to this. but you know, I'd get my work done. And so I ended up in that seeker role. So yoga was a big thing for me. And I was taking every yoga class I possibly could, and eventually did a yoga teacher training, taught at a studio for a while, and then started offering classes at a bike shop, actually like a cycling shop, for free. It was just to help, you know, garner a community. And it was great. It was really fun. And I thought, why don't I give this a try? And why don't I create the type of studio here in Greensboro that I want to practice at? Because there wasn't quite one like that. And So I opened Greensboro Downtown Yoga, and
you were doing full-time job. You had this other, how were you able to juggle both?
Well, let's just say my relationship suffered quite a bit, and I would go teach classes before work. So like a 5:45 AM yoga class. And then I would quick change and then go to work. It was down the block. The studio was down the block from work. And I, on my lunch break, I would be doing schedules for the yoga teachers, and I would be writing payroll and newsletters. And then in the evening, I'd go teach more classes, and I would teach on the weekends, and it burnt me out so bad. And I don't think I didn't do the studio well, but it taught me so much.
But then how did you continue to move forward? Something pretty significant happened.
Yeah. So first what happened was I had this wake up. I took myself in 2017. I took myself on a solo retreat, and I just went to the beach, and I took poster board with me, and I took my journal, and I said, okay, what are my core values? Right. And it was like creativity and sovereignty and growth and mindfulness and health. Health was a really big one. And
Before you go on, how did you narrow how did you even begin to go down, like, how to determine your core value?
I had worked with coaches, and there's this I got a shout out to one of my mentors and teachers, Kimberly Wilson. She was a yoga studio owner in the DC area. She had a really successful studio. Tranquility Du Jour is her brand now. And she, in her book, takes you through how to fill out core values. And I've since developed my own process around that, but I just did that process. And I realized when I looked at everything happening in my life, nothing was in alignment with those core values. I came home and started taking baby steps towards getting out of the relationship I was in. And I didn't have something quite lined up yet, but I told my counterpart that, so this was January, I told him, I'm going to give you as long of a runway as I can. I will quit at the end of May. So you have me until June to find a replacement. And that's what
stake
we did.
Stake in the ground.
Yeah, stake in the ground.
The way I call that is that is your relaunch.
Yes.
Made the decision. You got very clear. This is the date. This is what I'm doing.
Yeah. And I knew the yoga studio had to go. I had brought on a business partner, and she had been diagnosed with thyroid cancer. She's very fine now. She's great now. But it was a traumatic time for her. And so we just couldn't juggle it together. So we said, you know what? This isn't working. Let's sell it. We sold it to our studio manager. And I thought, okay, a psychology background. I know all of these techniques from the coaches I've worked with. I think I am supposed to be a coach or a psychologist. We'll just see which one comes first. And
so so at this point, you're like, I know I can't be there. And you didn't have anything at that point to fall back on.
No.
I want people to know that there are those that have to have, it's like, you know, when you're dating and you don't break up until you have something else in the works, right? There's those women. I get it. I was one of them for a while. And then there are those that, like, no, I need my space. And I was that woman as well. Eventually I was like, I need a 6-month detox. And so you decided to do this. And I know that was it this company that you had the misfortune of the business, or was it something that we're going to discuss in the future?
It's something in the future.
Okay. We're not going there yet.
Okay. Yeah.
Don't take me there. I don't want to know that.
I won't take you there yet.
Okay. So right now you've really gotten very clear on your core values. You are knowing that you're not in alignment with the other job. You quit. And you're like, hey, I'm opening this up. You know that the yoga studio, you closed it at the exact same time. Is that right?
In February. Yep. Well, sold it in February. Yep.
Okay. Sold it. That's awesome. Congratulations. And then what happened?
Well, I decided to give myself a year to figure it out. And I took Marie Forleo's B School. God love her. And Marie Forleo, she's awesome. But I started interviewing.
I agree. Shout out. Absolutely. Yep.
God, there's so many amazing women doing amazing things.
Everything is figureoutable, is her.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
And you know what? It really is.
100%.
100%. And at this point, though, you decided to do a year of travel.
I did.
So great. So is this like an eat, pray, love? What was this for you?
I've always been a traveler, and I was so starved for freedom and exploration. I also had this misguided idea that gets me into trouble down the road, and we'll talk about that in a minute, that as I should be blogging while I'm traveling and talking about my coaching process, and that this would attract my target audience. Hint, that did not work.
let's go back to why do you think it didn't work? Because this is so important for people to hear. When you're pushing and you're pushing and you're pushing and things don't work.
Well,
what was going on?
I would say that it's right around the time that organic traffic stopped working in Facebook. And so there was a timing issue there where I wasn't getting the organic traffic. I had not yet built an audience base or an email list. I wasn't running ads to anything. And I didn't know enough about marketing. And that's why it didn't work. And so you have to have an email list. You have to have an audience base. And you have to put in that groundwork.
And it's a building process, right? Yeah. You got to know. In this business, you know, build it and they will come. Nope.
Those foundation steps, you have to have them in there.
You do. And you have to, you know, there's a lot of times where you have to relaunch and move and shift. And then and only then are you able to kind of take it to that next level. And a lot of times, you know, I know for me, I just got back from Africa and I, you know, went in with the, I'm going to do this every day. I'm going to do, you know, reels. And about day two, I'm like, you know what? It doesn't feel right to me.
Yeah.
I knew I needed that sabbatical, that break, that, you know, I just lost my dad. I knew I had to take a break and I wasn't able to, if I was constantly thinking, how am I going to show this? How am I going to, you know, put this out there? And what's interesting is even at this point, I still haven't kind of formulated that whole trip. And we're working on it right now, but it'll be so much more impactful the way we're going to deliver it. Yeah. But right now we have to take a short break. Alicia, I appreciate all the things that you have given us so far. But when we come back, we are going to get into a very similar relaunch that we had, how we both were able to overcome it, and then also get into little failures and what you can do to move ahead. Very cool. We'll be right back.
Become our friend on Facebook. Post your thoughts about our shows and network on our timeline. Visit facebook.com/Voice America.
Voice America programs are now available on your favorite connected device, including Amazon, Alexa, and Google Home. Through streams with Apple Podcasts, TuneIn, and iHeartRadio, listening to your favorite show is as easy as saying the show name followed by the word podcast.
Hey, Alexa. Play Finding Your Frequency podcast.
If that doesn't work, try adding on TuneIn or on iHeartRadio or on Apple Podcasts.
You have the power to be stronger, live fearlessly, and enjoy the benefits of a great life. Listen for Fearlessly Authentic with host Jody Harrison Bauer. Jody has proven at an age when many start to slow down that she is just getting started. With two grown daughters, a successful business that she started at 50, a finalist in the Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue, and a two-time world bikini champion, she's ready to take you to the next level in your life. Fearlessly Authentic airs Thursdays at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, 1 p.m. Pacific Time on Voice America Empowerment.
It's your world. Motivate, change, succeed. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com.
We'll be right back.
You are listening to The Relaunch with Hillary DeCesar. Have a question for Hillary or her guest today? Join us on the show at 888-346-9141. That's 888-346-9141. We'd love to hear from you. Now, back to the show. Here again is your host, Hillary DeCesar.
Welcome back. And I have Alicia Wilfert with me. And what we're going to be talking about now is, unfortunately, a way of life. Mm-hmm. And there's a few relaunches in our life that you can't avoid. Mm-hmm. And so, unfortunately, it's going to happen. It's going to happen to all of us. But we're going to talk about how to rise above it, what we can actually do. And both of us, Alicia and I, both have the same experience, which is, you know, heart-wrenching. We're going to discuss it. And also, if you guys are out there and you're wondering what steps, what can you do when you have failures, you know all about the relaunch effect. But today we're going to hear from the gal who wrote the book, Little Failures, and she's going to walk us through that. And her next one, Little Rituals. You don't want to miss this. Okay, Alicia, you're back.
All right. So, you know, I said the travel year was maybe a little misguided because I hadn't built the foundation. Listen, I'd done some homework. I took B school. I wrote the business plan. I did exactly what I thought I was supposed to do, but there's always so much more to learn. And I really went through all my savings and I just went through it, but I knew I was supposed to be doing what I was doing. I even picked up another job as things were getting bad. And fast forward to 2019, and I'm realizing that I've gone to the point of no return. And like, even still talking about it, even though I wrote about it, it still feels shameful. It still feels like, even about to say this, I'm like nervous, but I had to file for bankruptcy. And so this is 2019, and I knew this was coming. I'd met with a lawyer. I knew the steps were to stop paying on my credit cards.
So what you're telling me is that you had maxed out your card. You didn't have savings. Were you able to pay your rent? Were you?
My mortgage. I was barely making my mortgage. I mean, there were months where I didn't know how I was. It was like faith. And Jeff Walker, the launch king, I don't know, he calls it hope and prayer marketing. And I was on the hope and prayer marketing team. And it was tough. It was really tough. However, there was this thing inside me the whole time, that this burning of knowing that I was doing exactly what I was supposed to be doing. And I needed to find a way to figure it out. And I needed to keep moving forward. And so through it all, I just kept the faith in that and honored that. That was the most.
For those that don't know, what does it mean to you as a person to file personally for bankruptcy?
Oh God, I feel like it feels so shameful. So it feels like I'd never borrowed that money intending to not pay it back, right? That felt like stealing. And it felt like shame, and it felt like it just feels like you want to hide in your bedroom and not ever look at anyone again.
Can I ask how much had you kind of, you know, put, like, how much was it? How much are we talking about?
It was about 50,000.
So you're 50,000 in debt, and you're like, there is no way I can dig myself out of this hole.
No.
So you file for bankruptcy, mm-hmm. which means basically, you know, everyone can't come after you.
Right.
But it still leaves a mark on your record, right?
Yeah.
So you had to make that decision, like, okay. And you said 2019.
Yeah. So here's the interesting thing. I knew that this was starting to happen early in the year, and I knew what the steps were. And I think that I still had this like hope that maybe I would be able to pull off some launch that would give me enough to, like, there was always that in the back of my head. And things started rolling in my business. And I was like, okay, I think I can do this. I think I'll find a way to do this. And I distinctly remember it was April 2015, and I was sitting in this room, and I had two podcast interviews scheduled that day back to back. And I did the one podcast interview, and I'm like, oh, good, this is awesome. And they were coming to my house for those. It was before Zoom was as big as it was. And I did this weird thing where I just thought I'll take a quick break and I'll sit down on the couch. I never do that between interviews. And I turned on my phone and my mom called, and she's like, Alicia, are you sitting down? And I was like, oh shit, my mom never calls me. And I knew it was bad from that. I knew it was horrible at that moment. And her brother has had cancer at the time. And so I thought she was calling to tell me that my uncle had passed away. I would have expected that. And then she was like, it's your dad. And he just sat down and died. Like that, he just sat down and died. We don't exactly know what happened, but it was earth shattering. My dad was like the sun, and the rest of us, you know, were in the orbit around the sun. And he was like the most loving, caring human being, and just compassion and non-judgmental. And it was just so unexpected. He was my running buddy. You know, we didn't expect him to sit down and die. Like, he seemed so healthy. Yeah.
Do we know now what it was?
We think it was heart disease. And you know, what's so interesting is my favorite place on earth, I feel like I have a soul connection to Paris. And since I was a little kid, and that's the same day Notre Dame burned. And so I remember I jumped in the car and like, I threw like my whole house into the car, drove the 10 hours up to Toledo, Ohio, where I'm from. And, I was like an hour from Toledo, and a good friend called me and she said, Alicia, like, I'm so sorry. And I'm sorry, I have to tell you this too, but Notre Dame burned today. And I was just like, what in the world? Yeah. So you
have this experience where your mom calls, and I can still remember the day my mom called to tell me that she had cancer. And I think, you know, I've shared this, that June 6th of this year, 2022, my dad passed, and he passed on Monday. And my book launch was on Thursday, and there's a lot of great stories about my mom in there. And I'm like, what the hell? You know, it's so unbelievable. But I want to talk about, you know, women and their dads.
Yeah.
There's something really, you know, I'm not saying for everybody, but there is a interesting dynamic with dads. And yeah. I'm like getting a little bit like, oh my God, it is, it's tough to talk about as well. But there is a, it's really interesting. Did you have any of those times where you were trying so desperately hard to get the love of your dad?
So my dad was such a lover. So he was so good, generous with hugs and affection. And it's been in retrospect that I've started to understand that anytime before I left my house, when as a kid, he'd say, be a good girl. And, you know, I'm the oldest girl. I'm the oldest child in my family. And I'm a rule follower. I've been that way since I was a little kid. I think I always felt like I needed to like not be a burden to them. Like even from, I don't know why I got that idea, but not be a burden, not make waves. Like my mom would say she would leave me home with the kids, with my brother and sister, and that she'd get nervous to do it because I would impose more rules on them than she would.
That's funny.
But it was that like desire to like keep everyone safe and keep everything in line. And I do think
it's a story of be a good girl. He's been saying that since you were a little girl. And so you're running that. You're running it in your subconscious. Be a good girl.
Yeah. And if they don't tell you what that means, you make it up in your head, you know?
So true.
And if I'm making up rules that are so much harder for my brother and sister, of course I'm making up life rules that are so much harder for me, because that's of course what a good girl means.
See, I used to get a lot of that, you know, kids are supposed to be seen but not heard.
Mm.
And my dad was an orthopedic surgeon. He was, you know, going out in the nighttime and doing, you know, these important surgeries and everything. And I, you know, didn't have that. I wanted it so badly. I wanted the guy who was going to hug me. I wanted that, you know, that relationship of, you know, love. And my dad was not that way.
Mm.
But what happened was he got very ill. And when he was taking some treatment, my stepmom had to go, her mom was dying in Denmark. So she kept, you know, she had to keep leaving and I had to take care of my dad and I had my kids and I had my job and I had all these different things. I was a single mom and we developed probably my middle of like when I was little and right now, we developed finally a relationship. And it was at that point, you know, a little bit of a change because now he's more dependent on me, but I still, to the day he died, I still was looking for approval from him.
Yeah.
I was still like, I was even the 2 days before he ended up, you know, going into this heavy medication where he had to die and, you know, he was going to be leaving us. I was like, Dad, one more idea that I've got. What do you think about this? This is the direction I'm taking, you know? And he was like, that's good. He's like, Hilly, that's the direction you need to take. And I'm like, oh my God, I feel it too. And I'm like, did I just ask him about like, right? He's on his deathbed. And I'm like, you know, approval. Tell me this is going to work. And by the way, when you're in heaven, help me out on the other side. So you, and first off, you know, you and I, there are no words to describe, but your situation was different in that suddenly, passed. And for me, it was more of a journey over a couple of years. And I was flying back and forth. When somebody like that of significance passes, mm-hmm. how did you deal with this and how did you get through it? How did you relaunch yourself in this? Because it's such devastation.
Well, that was, I've always shied away from calling a year the worst year. Because I learned so much in 2019, but it did. You said in the beginning of the show, like the times that bring us to our knees. So I was a mess, to be perfectly honest. And, you know, after 2 weeks in Ohio, I drove back up here. And then 2 weeks after that, American Express sued me for default on the credit card. So like, I knew for sure.
I thought they weren't allowed to because you had filed.
No, I hadn't filed yet. I knew it was coming.
Oh, okay.
You have to stop paying. Okay. And then you file. So, mm-hmm. So it was just one of those where I would work. And that is not a way, you know, it was just like, I might not have money, but I have time and I'm going to spend all of my time doing it to make up for it because that must be what a good girl does. You know, like it's that.
Still running. She's got the bug, everyone, the bug underground servicing, those darn limiting beliefs that keep coming back until you blast them.
Until you blast them. Yeah. But when I was served by American Express, it was one of those where I just kind of got down on my knees that night. I set my yoga mat out and I got down.
I got down on my knees
and I just opened my arms in child's pose. And I just started, I had a conversation with the universe and I said, listen, I surrender. And whatever I am supposed to learn in this, I am open to learning it. I will keep taking steps forward as long as you're telling me I'm supposed to keep moving forward. But please don't make this any harder. I was like, please.
Take mercy. Just kidding. Please. I need to be done with this. Can I please move forward? But you know, it's amazing how the universe kind of, it's, you know, my grandmother used to say, man plans, God decides.
Yeah.
Yes. Right? We want things to go through like faster. But, you know, it's a broken heart.
Yeah.
Just like a broken bone. You cannot rush it.
Mm-mm.
And so just you surrendering, like, oh, I could feel your energy right now, just like giving it up, like, oh, all right, but I'm tapped.
Yeah.
I'm tapped out. My power source is just tapped.
Hillary, but I made a conscious choice to keep putting one foot in front of the other and to take those lessons with me. And I had this very strong sense that everything that was happening to set me up for something else and that I needed to use it.
So good. Yeah. That's awesome. What a great, I call it a relaunch flip. When you take something that is, you know, kind of like really crappy, really like not so great in your life, and you have to come up with like the law of polarity, the other side.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's hard. It is hard, hard, hard.
So hard.
Yeah. But you, and it's worth it. You were doing that.
Yeah.
That's so cool. Well, okay. We have to go on a break right now. But when we come back, we are going to talk about your book, the book you just launched, the book you're writing. We're talking about little failures and then little rituals. And as you said, it's that one step. Mm-hmm. We're going to give everyone out there, we're going to hear from Alicia, what are the steps? Like, how do you do it? Give me the steps. Let's go back to our, you know, prefrontal cortex. Just give me, you know, conscious thinking. Give me the steps. We're going to come back and we're going to give you those steps.
Follow us on Twitter at VoiceAmericaTRN. Get the lowdown on guests, new shows, and your favorites. That's VoiceAmericaTRN.
Do you dream about success but wonder how to get there? Hillary DeCesar and her guests will reveal how they relaunched into lives they only dreamt about. Their stories will inspire and surprise you and ignite your inner sparks. The Relaunch, Thursdays at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Empowerment Channel.
Have you become a member yet? Sign up now to become a member of Voice America. It's always free and easy. Plus, you get to take advantage of some great member benefits. Get unlimited access to millions of hours of on-demand content across all of our channels. Keep track of your favorite episodes, shows, and hosts in your own customizable library. Find out what shows you might be interested in based on your favorites. Plus, you get insider access with our newsletter. Membership gives you more. Sign up at voiceamerica.com and click register at the top right.
Have you had a chance to check out Voice America's online magazine and blog? If you love our hosts and shows, check out articles that give an even deeper perspective. Plus topics about health and fitness, movie reviews, philosophy, business tips and tactics, spirituality, positive thought, current events, and even more about your favorite host. It's just a click away at blog.voiceamerica.com. That's blog.voiceamerica.com. The Voice America Press Blog. All access, all the time.
It's your world. Motivate, change, succeed. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com.
You are listening to The Relaunch with Hillary DeCesar. Have a question for Hillary or her guest today? Join us on the show at 888-346-9141. That's 888-346-9141. We'd love to hear from you. Now, back to the show. Here again is your host, Hillary DeCesar.
Hey, everyone. I am back with Alicia Wilford. And we were just talking on the break about the age of her dad, the age of my dad. And hers was 64. Again, had, you know, just all of a sudden just was gone. And mine was 87, about to turn 88 in a couple of weeks. And she made such a great comment. She said, you know what? It doesn't really matter what age it is. It's hard. It is really difficult to lose your parents. It's difficult to lose anyone. But when you start losing your parents, it again kind of sets us up for this idea that, you know, we're all going to have this happen to us. Right. And it's the mortality. And there's so many different cultures that highlights like death is a real positive and it's a journey and it's like exciting. Whereas in the US, we just don't talk about it. We don't talk about it. So we're not ready for it. So when it happens, it's kind of like, what now? Yeah. And I just ran an obituary for my dad last weekend. And it was, you know, a 3-day and it was supposed to be 2 weeks ago. And then they forgot to run it. So here I'm like, you know, we're all looking for it and it's not there. And then, oh, sorry, a glitch in the system. I'm like, glitch in the system. This is the Obit. But what I want to say is that you have great concepts and steps in your new book. Tell us why you wrote this book. And let's start talking about what are the steps when you have failures, when you have things that don't quite go right.
Well, Hillary, I think you just kind of set it up really well. This isn't exactly the reason why I wrote the book, but what's most pertinent to this conversation is that life is fragile. And when we don't go after our dreams, we might have to live with regret. And I don't know about you, but that is not something I want to live with. And so when I was sitting there miserable in my cubicle, the thing I kept coming back to is like, I might not know what's supposed to happen next. And my worst fear was actually bankruptcy, and it came true. And you know what? I'm still here and I'm doing great now. And
that's really interesting. Your worst fear before it happened goes right back to what our thoughts create in our world. This is a great example of this.
It is. Our thoughts create our reality. And so what you focus on grows. So don't focus on what you don't want. But I know that I wouldn't be in this. I love my life. I love the work I do. I love the clients I get to work with. I wouldn't be there if I hadn't let go of perfectionism, let go of needing to know what happens next and taken that leap. And I'm not saying that people should be reckless. I would not want anybody to do what, to have to go through what I just went. So be smart. However, take the leap, right? Perfectionism is really fear of failure at the core of things. And you just, so my tip for this is just, my friend, Bonnie Christine, she's a surface pattern designer. She's amazing. She says, you just have to have 10 seconds of courage, 10 seconds of courage. So muster up those 10 seconds of courage.
Hold on. Back up. Surface pattern
designer.
Okay. What is that?
Oh, she's amazing. Okay. So anything you look at right now, your rug, your curtains, your towel.
All right, I got it. All right. I don't know what that is.
What is that?
Yeah. And I'm sure people out there are like, well, we don't know what that is. Okay, but now wait, take the leap.
So
that's the first part. That is a step. Like, you know, you got to take it. You got to go for it. You live once. Remember that, everyone.
Perfectionism, it keeps us out of action and it can keep us from going after the things that are most important, big and small, right? And let's just say you take the leap, you have your 10 seconds of courage and it does not go well. Let's say you hit that thing, you have that moment that I had. So I had a big failure, but let's just pretend it's a little failure. You know, it could be anything. Once that failure happens, there are so many things that you can do, but the most important thing is you have to accept what happened and you have to take ownership for it. Right?
You're speaking my language. Step one of the belief blaster to get rid of the bugs is acceptance. You got to accept. You got to, like, you know, it's there.
Embrace it.
Yeah, embrace it. And learn from it. Yep. And I would even say, when you say perfectionism, you know, a lot of people procrastinate. And I really believe that procrastination is a form of perfectionism, right?
It is. It's a symptom.
It is.
It's actually a symptom of it. Yeah. There's the chronic and pervasive fear of failure is, there's a word for it. It's called a tiki phobia. And one of the top, there's like four different symptoms. I talk about it in the book and I haven't memorized all of them, but one of those symptoms is perfectionism, or like fear of failure. Like, fear of failure. It's procrastinating. It is never thinking things are good enough. You know, those.
Absolutely. And you called it a tiki phobia.
Phobia. Yeah.
Oh, so good.
It's like A-T-Y-A-I. Yeah.
So now as we go through these and there are steps.
Yep.
Let's review for a second. Mm-hmm. Go through and just highlight step one and two.
Yeah. Okay. So step one, accept. Step two, you have to grieve it. And that is not a once and done type of thing, but especially in the beginning, like, you got to give yourself over to the feelings. If you bottle them up, they will come out, and they will come out at the most inopportune times. So you've got to give yourself over to those feelings. Just feel it.
Yeah. And also if you don't, it ends up manifesting somewhere in your body.
Yeah.
I mean, how many times we talk about mind, spirit, body, and people are like, oh, the mind, we get that. We get spirit. Okay. I'm going to, you know, do my meditations. I'm going to, you know, do my affirmations, all these things. But the body, it's like, where are you feeling things? Where are you holding things? Where is that emotion? Kind of like, I know in me, it's my, you know, left neck shoulder area.
Yeah, me too.
Isn't that funny?
Right. Mine's the right, but it's like right here.
Mine's the left. And so as soon as I feel that, I'm like, what am I like, you know, repressing at this point?
Yeah. Yes.
So good.
So you've got to feel it. You've got to grieve it. And then you really need to bring in a trusted community. So that's a really important piece of it. And not everybody belongs in that inner circle, but they're the people that are going to help you process it and make sense of what happened. And then I suggest you do a SWOT analysis, like literally like a business SWOT analysis of the strength.
Old school, baby.
Old school.
I love it. Take it back. This is like, this takes me back to spin selling when I was at Xerox, you know, SWOT analysis, which, you know, strengths, your
weaknesses, opportunities, threats. So apply it to life. You know, it's like, there's always something there that we can learn from. And then the most important thing is you have to take recovering actions.
Yeah.
You got to get back on that horse. And you might not be doing the exact same thing you did before if it didn't work, but look at your SWOT analysis. What did you just evaluate? What did you learn from it? Mm. How can you tweak it? What can you do different? And then literally get back on the horse and do it again. Or do something else that scares you. It doesn't have to be the exact same thing, but show yourself that you still have courage.
So great. And so when you think about SWOT and you think about it for your business, you know, you have that. You got, you know, what are the strengths? What are the weaknesses? What are the opportunities? What opportunities do you have? Because really, when you start to look at opportunities equals gratitude.
Yeah.
I got opportunities. Yeah. And as you always talk about little, yeah, and those little opportunities, compound interest, everyone. It turns into a bigger one, right? Yeah. Small little steps. And then your threats are those things that, you know, really get in the way. You know, and a lot of times we create some of those circumstantially. We start to think, as you said, you know, the whole thoughts around it, and then it happens. Yeah. So how can you do a relaunch flip at that point?
Yeah.
How can you really? I think this is so great. So we've got accept, you've got to grieve it, you got to have that trusted community, and then you got to have the recovery actions. Give us an example of a couple recovery actions.
Well, in the book, my favorite story is there is a woman in Greensboro. She's amazing. And she opened a fitness studio like over 40 years ago, but she also rides horses. She's been riding horses her entire life. Well, in, I think it was 2017, she literally got thrown. It was her first and only time being thrown from a horse, broke her hip, sent to the hospital. Like they thought she was, the hospital called the clergy in because they didn't think she was going to make it. Punctured a lung, like, and within 2 weeks, she had literally gotten back on that horse. She still rides that horse today. And now they have a better relationship than she's had with any other horse because she was brave. You know, she looked at what had happened and she was willing to try again.
Incredible. Yeah. And so she ended up getting back on the, it's such like a perfect, right?
Literally.
She got back on the horse. I mean, it is so perfect. So we all have to be thinking, what horse, what situation have we been thrown to the ground?
Well, but this goes, let's go back to the little baby steps. So the way this gets me the most is exercise. Health is a core value, but it's a core value that I have to work on. And I'm a runner, but I am not a runner that loves running. I just am a runner. And so if I'm determined to hit 4 run workouts a week, well, if I start that plan and I miss one, or let's say you are trying to quit smoking, or you are trying to add more water to your diet, or whatever it is that you're trying to do, just because you miss one, don't throw the whole thing out, right? Okay.
So good. We gotta stop on that note. That is so good. And Alicia, where can people find out what you're working on, what you're doing, and connect with you?
Yeah, they can find me at my website, www.yokeandabundance.com, or Instagram at Yoke and Abundance.
So good. It was so great to have you. I know that you also have something for our audience that we're going to include in the speaker notes. Can you tell us what that is?
Yes, I have 30 days of meditation. So 30 days of mindful meditation.
That gets you right into that higher self, that best version of you. I love that. Well, Alicia, thank you so much for being here. And next week, everyone, I've got Allison Scammell with me, who is a master intuitive coach, psychic medium, and energy healer. And ready for this? I actually have an appointment with her before this episode. So make sure you come back for that one, because she helps leaders, influencers, and entrepreneurs get further along in their business, but by using intuition. And you know how much I love that, because that's what I love to do. So for those that have not signed up for my free workshop, head on over to therelaunchco.com. And we have a workshop coming up that you don't want to miss. It's all around this concept of leveling up your business. You're releasing to relaunch to bring in that incredible opportunity of revenue expansion, scaling your business, creating it, all of that good stuff, and making sure you're on the right path. We're going to go into all of that in this free workshop. So make sure you sign up for that. And then also, I want you to really be thinking, you heard a lot of great things today. How are you going to be taking that little small step that Alicia just said, small steps towards your big goals? And again, when you add them all up, that's when the magic happens. So at this point, everyone, live now, love now, relaunch now. See you next week.
We thank you, our listeners, for joining us for the relaunch with Hillary DeCesar. We hope that you leave today's show with inspiration and tools to help you achieve your own relaunch. Until we talk again, have a week filled with self-love, joy, and success.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program.